Welcome to the Legacy Podcast. I'm Chris Wilmerding, your host. The show is a series of conversations with business owners about their beliefs and values and which beliefs and values they want to share with the next generation. If you want to be a guest on the show, simply wait until the end of this 20-minute segment and we'll provide a link. Simply sign in at that point and we'll be in touch with more information. Now, let's get on with the show. Welcome. This is Chris Wilmerding. I'm the host of Legacy Podcast, and I am thrilled to have David Bradford here today, CEO of Fluent Worlds. It's not often. Well, he's a pretty interesting character. He is an award-winning human being. Start with that. You can look him up. He's, you know, most of us don't have that pleasure and that honor, but he's won a ton of different awards. He's also recruited Steve Wozniak, co-founder of Apple, and we'll probably touch on that at some point in this podcast. But anyway, welcome. And David, I'd love to first start with your business and what you do and why you do it.
Well, listen, my wife's a PhD in instructional technology. And while I was doing a CEO gig for a couple of other companies, she went out and got that PhD, and she studied the impact of learning in 3D virtual environments. Think of a video game on your desktop. And what is the effectiveness of learning in a 3D virtual world versus the physical classroom? And after an extensive study, it was found that the people that actually took a course online in a 3D virtual classroom, not this flat Zoom environment, but, you know, an actual character in an environment, et cetera, they actually had higher learning outcomes than those who took the same course, same instructor, same hours in class, than those who took it in the physical classroom. So based on that original dissertation study, we began to think, well, what's the best way to demonstrate the effectiveness of learning in a 3D environment? And we hit upon language learning. And so that's how Fluent Worlds got born. And we teach people how to speak another language in a video game. So it's a great technology, and we're having a blast.
That's awesome. The two thoughts come to mind. First of all, there's nothing like timing in life. I mean, COVID must have been an amazing benefit. At least, you know, it might not have immediately turned into business, but certainly gotten people into a certain mindset. Is that true?
Absolutely. For us, we have both the asynchronous do-it-yourself app that you can download on iTunes or Google Play, but we also have a live environment. In fact, we should be doing this call in our 3D virtual classroom where there's a live instructor. You can see one another live in a webcam, but you also have the ability to teleport to places like Japan or USA Central Park or, you know, an airport, a restaurant, a hotel to learn in context. So, this has been a big opportunity, and my wife and I and our team have never been busier.
That's really cool. So how do you measure success? This is probably more a question for your wife than you, but how do you quantify success versus the two-dimensional or other methodologies like Duolingo or something like that?
Yeah, absolutely. There are other apps out there and they're fine. But again, when we get these remarkable testimonials from people saying, I've tried Duolingo, I've tried Babbel, it's a flat experience. Whereas with you, I'm actually simulating life. I'm walking through an airport. I'm learning, you know, what it is to go through, you know, the currency exchange or the scanner system, et cetera. We were just doing that last night with a group in Japan. So anyway, it's real life, it's simulation, et cetera. So it's separate. And I think it just in terms of success, when my wife and I look at it and we see how it's elevating lives of people around the globe, the ability to speak a second language always increases people's lifetime earnings. And so if you find someone in Guatemala, like we recently did, and she's just accelerated her English language skills through our platform, that's really fun and gratifying.
So there seems to be a social side of this business model as well. Can you speak to that a little?
Well, sure. People say that they've never felt social in a Zoom meeting, but with our platform, you're able to really interact with people. We find all the time with our classes online that the students stay after class. Hey, let's teleport together to the moon or to, you know, we have 35 different virtual environments, university campuses, et cetera. And they can go and you hear them talking about, oh, my family's this and here's that object and it reminds me of that and so forth. So it's a social experience in addition to being a learning experience. We are fond of saying that engaged learning is better learning. Meaning that when people are engaged in an environment, when they're engaged in a process, they are going to stay in it longer and they will learn more.
Interesting. It sounds like the very fact that you've made it more realistic has triggered certain things in people's psyches in a consistent manner. I mean, is that a reasonable way to describe it?
Yeah, my wife's fond of saying, let's see if I can get this right. Our minds are image processors, not word processors. Mm-hmm. So think about that. If our mind are image processors, we look at a place, an environment, and it sticks in our memory palace in our mind, and we're able to more aptly remember the word, like we were practicing the word currency last night at the currency exchange in the airport. And so you see, you know, the ATM and you see the currency people, et cetera. And so that, you know, sticks more deeply in your mind when you can associate it with real life objects.
Great. So expanding the social side a little bit further, pushing that, it also means that you've got a kind of a social mission. It sounds like, you know, part of the company's mission is to enable cross-cultural interaction. Is that true or is that just a side?
No, absolutely true. And, you know, when you're studying Japanese and instead of walking through USA Central Park, you're walking through a pagoda or you're walking through a Zen garden, et cetera, in Japan with Mount Fuji in the background, that gives you much more acculturation into what's going on there. So our mission clearly is to connect the world and do it in a way that's never been done before. People talk about changing education. Well, we actually went out and did something about it.
Wow, that's a heck of a, well, there's actually two levels of ambition there, which has to do with education and enabling much better remote education, for lack of a better term, as well as improving the world. Those are two ambitions that most of us can't even wrap our minds around. This should be an easy question, but I'm curious, what's the one thing that your business in particular does better than 95% of your competition? I think you touched on it. You might just want to restate it.
Yeah, I think just the fact that you're simulating real life, so forth. It, also, the ability to get in and out. I struggled today with Zoom. I had to do an update, et cetera, et cetera. In our system, it's all browser-based technology. Boom, one click and you're in. You're into the world. You enter your name and password, and you're walking around, you know, whatever virtual environment you're in, the university campus, the tech store, et cetera. And so, yeah, we get people touching and feeling, and you know, those senses help us with our memory palaces. The term memory palace came to me. We hired Tim Doner as part of our executive team. Tim speaks 23 languages.
Wow.
Tim is a Harvard graduate, a Cambridge graduate. He's a young man that came to the fore, 5 years ago. He was on various network television shows and BBC as the world's youngest hyper polyglot, meaning someone that can speak 10 or more languages. Tim's terrific, but Tim will could articulately explain the differentiations, but it's a lot of fun.
Wow. Great. So here's a little bit more difficult question, David. The question is, what do you think you do best as the CEO of this enterprise?
You know, I think of myself as the CTO. Now, normally people think of the words CTO as chief technology officer. I'm the chief talent officer. I'm a connector just by my very nature. And so I'm able to go out. I'm sorry about that little
no
message.
Problem. I'll
close that off. Wow. Anyway, so I am a talent magnet. I love to go out and connect people with opportunity, and finding the best possible people in the world to work on your team. That's what gets me up in the morning. Is who am I going to find today to connect to this business and this opportunity?
Well, it sounds like you've been very successful. And when you're a talent magnet, I imagine your life is a lot easier.
It does help. I mean, yeah.
Great. Well, let's talk a little bit about success.
Okay.
And how do you see success? How do you define it? What's it feel like? Are there metrics, or is it a feeling, emotional thing? What is success for you?
I wish I had a ready answer. You know, there's the financial side of success. There's certainly the spiritual side, the peace that comes, et cetera. And so I have felt a modicum of that in my life, but I'm just naturally a driven person. And at times I wish I could say, David, enough, you know, you've achieved this, you've done that, and just kind of back off and just, you know, enjoy your family, et cetera. But, you know, at the same time, you know, you talk about leaving the legacy. And so I think my wife and I are both kind of driven. We both grew up, you know, with no money. We've just always felt kind of driven to, you know, make a success out of ourselves and have that for our children and our 17 grandchildren.
Wow. 17. How many kids do you have?
We have 4 kids, and three of them had 4 kids, and the other one had 5. So
Wow. That's
the 17.
Wow. That's quite a family.
Yeah,
so the grandchildren must be a focus, a real focus for your wife and for you.
I love them to death. Just, you know, from Daniel to Jacqueline to Malia down to the last one, Ryan, we love them all. And, you know, again, we love spending time with them, and it's just, it's an awesome group.
Yeah, I can imagine. It's a big group. It's one that will keep you busy.
Yeah.
So you mentioned the word legacy, and of course this is the Legacy Podcast. So this is what this is all about. And here's the piece that I'm most curious hearing your story. And I'm sure the audience feels the same way. When you think about legacy, legacy means a lot of different things to a lot of different people. And you mentioned money, you mentioned 17 grandchildren, you mentioned 4 kids. You know, the traditional path, and I'm not knocking it, but the traditional path is all about setting up ways to fund education or health or whatever you want to do for your family. And that's a really great way to leave a legacy. Then there's this other bucket. I often call it a spectrum, but there's this bucket of, I know you're involved in BYU, and I know you might be interested, or not, I know, but I suspect you at some point you might have considered leaving money to an institution or foundation or something along those lines. But there's this other bucket that most people don't spend a lot of time thinking about, but it's particularly pertinent to you and the size of your family and how family oriented you are, which is the emotional side of money, the stories that you might leave behind, the culture, the morals, it's all the intangibles that the preceding generations leave to the next generation. right? I mean, I could argue, just before you answer, I could argue that your parents and your grandparents and arguably your great-grandparents all had left you a legacy in one form or another. They could be funny phrases. They could be habits. They could be views toward money, views toward friendship, views toward religion, faith, etc. All right, so I've talked enough. I want to hear your thoughts on legacy.
Well, gosh, as you were going through that description, I thought first of my mother, who's turned 97 today. Wow. And her, you know, we talk today in social media terms as influencers, right, on social media. But I am telling you, that woman has left an amazing legacy. She left her, or she, her husband died on her birthday, 1985. So that's exactly 35 years ago today. I don't want to get emotional about it, but she has carried on in an amazing way and blessed the lives of not just her children, but her children's children and unborn generations. They'll remember Grandma Kay, who has influenced all of my children, my grandchildren. It's an amazing legacy she's left. The second person that comes to mind, William Bradford of the Mayflower. He's my eighth great grandfather, straight back.
Oh, cool.
So David Bradford. You go back, my dad is Sylvester Duncan Bradford, keep going back, and you get back into the 1600s, and we find William Bradford as my eighth great-grandfather, and my gosh, what a game-changer that was, as he took that small body of religious zealots and came here to America to find religious freedom, and religion is still a huge part of our lives. So now you think about it. Why is that? Well, maybe it's as a direct result of someone who was so dedicated to his faith. And so we find that pervades our family even to this day, is faith, religion, service, those sorts of things. So those are the things that pop to my mind.
So those are the things that you want to convey to the next generation and the generation after that?
You know, it's things like work ethic. It's things like showing up in life. What are the things that can help them make a difference for a positive world? And, you know, I wrote a book some years ago called Up Your Game, Six Timeless Principles. And I talk about showing up and following up and doing those sorts of small things that not everybody does. If you know, 90% of people fail to follow up in a meaningful way. So learn to follow up. And so I teach those principles, and hopefully by example, as well as, the written word, I think I'm trying to help them.
It's really interesting. One of the things you said there is the importance of faith in your life. And one of the lines of thought that has been going through my mind for the last few months has been, what does faith, how does that play into grit and resilience and that type of thing? So for example, it's not that we're going to go way down this rabbit hole, but, you know, I'm sure, David, at some point you've had some less than wonderful times, some failures in your life. We all have. And the question is, what role does faith, and faith, I'm not necessarily saying faith in God. It could very well be, but it could also just be faith in yourself or faith in the belief that things will get better. And I wonder, how has that played a big role in your life in any way?
Yeah, no question. I think we all have to have hope. And, you know, hope to me kind of precedes faith. Faith kind of concretizes your hope in things.
Right.
And so, you've got to, yes, we have all faced those moments in time where we've lost jobs or we've failed at, you know, some academic endeavor, et cetera. You just have to have hope, and you have to keep coming back and keep getting back up. And as you do that, eventually that joy will be found. So hope is kind of foundational.
To faith, leads to faith. So it sounds like that's something that you might very well want to pass on to your kids as well. That specific concept, it sounds like that resonates. And it sounds like you're already passing that on to your kids and your grandkids.
You know, I talk a lot about hope and faith in the family, but the other thing I talk about a lot is do. So I remember Nolan Bushnell, for example, the inventor of the Atari and Chuck E. Cheese franchises, et cetera. Nolan wrote a book called Finding the Next Steve Jobs. It's a great book. You should all read it. Great. I don't know. It's like 100 pages. It's a quick read. But in there, he talks about the fact that everybody who's ever taken a shower has had a great idea. It's the person that goes out and does something about it that changes the world. Yep. And that doing, I find to be lacking in 90% of the people.
Right.
You know, we all have that vision. We all can be a dreamer of, you know, what can happen next. But unless you get out and form that corporation or, you know, take positive, concrete steps toward accomplishing that, nothing's going to happen. So I also talk about, you know, the core faith, but action.
The importance of action. So it's funny you mention that, because my last question for this podcast, this show, is I'd like to know if what steps or actions would you recommend what steps or actions are you going to take to ensure that the legacy that you want to deliver to your family actually takes place? Because I find that our audience, you know, just talking about legacy in general without action steps, isn't that funny that you mentioned this book and the importance of that impact in your life? Without those action steps, it's a little bit more empty.
Sure. Well, I'm writing a second book now, My Life in 20 Minutes. And I talk about how I take increments of 20 minutes to focus on something, whether it's my putting stroke or whether it's recruiting someone via social media or whatever it is. Set aside concrete time, et cetera, to accomplish specific tasks. And so you can pass, and it doesn't have to be a book. I enjoy writing, et cetera, et cetera. But do a journal. Pick up that journal from, you know, Walmart or whatever it is, and start writing in it, because that's the way people are going to remember you. Now, maybe it's a video that you can create for your kids and your grandkids, but gosh, go out and do something to leave that legacy.
So it's that same theme of taking action. But what's also interesting about the notion of keeping a diary or a journal is that, and I think you're saying this, but it also forces people to articulate their thoughts. See, we're right. You know that technology is, for all its good points, keeps us so busy that we have no time to think about the important stuff. And that's the tragedy, I think.
Right.
Well, yeah, this has been great, David. David Bradford, CEO of Fluent Worlds. I've really enjoyed sharing your story with our audience. And also, you know, you're just a really interesting person. We talked about all the rewards you've won, and we talked about Steve Wozniak, but we haven't gotten there. Maybe there's another time we could chat about that. But thank you again. If you want to be a guest on our program, please go to businesslegacypodcast.com and book your interview there. businesslegacypodcast.com. And book your interview there. David, thank you and be well.
It's great. Thanks, Chris. Bye-bye now. Wishing you the best.
You too. Thanks for listening to the Business Legacy Show. If you're a thoughtful business owner who would like to be a guest on this program, please visit businesslegacypodcast.com/guest. That's businesslegacypodcast.com/guest. Now, if you got something out of this interview, please share this episode on social media. Just do a quick screenshot with your phone and text it to a friend or post it on the socials. If you do that, tag us with hashtag Business Legacy Podcast. Again, hashtag Business Legacy Podcast. Each month, we scour Twitter, LinkedIn, Facebook, and Instagram. We pick one winner from each platform, and you get crowned king or queen of that social media. What do you win? We're going to promote you and your business to our audience of over 150,000 people, totally free. Now, can you hook us up in your podcast player right now? Please give us a thumbs up or a rating and a review. We promise to read it all and take action. We believe that a person's legacy is the most important thing someone can leave the next generation, and your feedback helps us fulfill our mission. And while you're at it, hit that subscribe button. You know why? Because every week for 15 minutes, you are going to be inspired and motivated to leave a lasting and meaningful legacy. My name is Chris Womerding. Let's connect on the socials. You'll find all the stuff we're doing at businesslegacypodcast.com. Again, businesslegacypodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and thank you for being part of the Business Legacy Movement.